Welcome to Living Way Church as we are being transformed by the Word of God through another dynamic message from our senior pastor, Vic Prieto. Now join us to hear what God has to say as our service is already in progress.
Today is Palm Sunday, and this is the day that we really commemorate when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And he was really coming to announce himself not only as the King of Israel, but even more important than that, he was announcing himself as the one who would be the Savior of the world, who would die for all of our sins. And so today is the beginning of Passion Week, all right? So all this week is when Jesus is really headed to the cross. Of course, Good Friday is the time that he really died on the cross, and then Sunday, next Sunday, is his resurrection day. So when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday, you know, years and years ago, the population in the city of Jerusalem was three times more than the regular population. And that's because there was people, families coming from all over the place with their unblemished lambs to make a sacrifice and celebrate the Passover. Some commentators say that there was over 2.5 million people coming into Jerusalem. So you can imagine they're coming from all these different directions to celebrate the Passover. And the Passover was an event that took place like 1,500 years earlier. And this was when the children of Israel, they were held captive. They were in bondage. They were enslaved by the Egyptians. And so because of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, God sent a series of plagues. And the last plague, the 10th plague that he sent, was the death of every firstborn child. And so the only way to escape that tragedy is that the children of Israel, the families, they had to sacrifice an unblemished lamb, take some of that blood, and they would put that blood on the top, on the sides, and on the bottom of their doorpost, you know, in the frame. And really what that does is a prophetic vision of the cross, right? On the top, on the sides, the blood. It's a prophetic vision of the cross that it's at one day, which we're living in that now, that cross would completely break the curse of sin and death. And so when the children of Israel put the blood on that, on the doorposts, when the angel of death was passing over, that's why it's called Passover, when he was moving through, when you'd see the blood on those doorposts, then that household would go unharmed, and that's the Passover celebration, all right? And in addition to all these other, you know, all these people coming into Jerusalem, you can imagine millions of people coming in. In addition to that, there were 10 times the normal amount of Roman soldiers coming in. And so these Roman soldiers were coming in on these war-trained black stallions that were fully armored. And they were riding into Jerusalem, and what were they really wanting to do is that they were trying to make sure that they could prevent an uprising from the zealots, all right? These zealots were this group of radicals that wanted to overturn the Roman rule. You know, so they were coming in, so with the guards watching and the horses, you know, coming in town and all these people coming in from all these different directions and with the city of Jerusalem basically bursting at the seams, Jesus comes in, not on a war horse, but on a donkey. And this is to fulfill the prophecy in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Let's look at this. It says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." So with all the things that I could share with you today about Palm Sunday, I want to talk to you a little bit about this donkey. And listen, not just the donkey, but this is the donkey that was prophesied in Zechariah 9:9. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about the donkey, maybe not so much about the character of the donkey, like did he have to pull him, you know? But also I want to talk about how Jesus had to find this donkey, how he sent his disciples to find this donkey, all right? How many know Jesus needed that donkey to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9? Yeah, so listen, the title of my message this morning is Meeting the Need of Jesus. Meeting the Need of Jesus. So Luke chapter 19, I want to read verses 29 through 34, and we're going to get into this today. Luke chapter 19, 29 through 34. It came to pass when he, Jesus, drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here." Verse 31. "And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you looking?' or 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went their way, and they found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you loosing the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.'" Everyone say, "The Lord has need of it." Yeah, so this is what kind of was grabbing my attention. Because I think it's safe to say that most of us don't think about our Lord Jesus needing anything. Isn't that right? I mean, we go to him to meet our needs. Isn't that right? I mean, it even says that God promises that he will meet all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So very rarely do we think that Jesus has need of anything. I mean, we go to him to meet our needs. We go to him for healing. We go to him for direction. We go to him for peace, right? We go to him for instruction. We go to him for everything. And so it's rare, it's not common that we think that Jesus would need anything, but he does. He needs you. He needs me. Listen, Jesus needs us to participate and partner with him to carry out his purpose on this earth. Yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, "He needs you." Yeah, so listen, Jesus loves you, Jesus chose you, and Jesus needs you. He needs our participation. Listen, what if I were to tell you that Jesus positioned himself, he put himself in a position to where he will not do what he wants to do in our communities, in our families, you know, in our churches, in our schools, that Jesus put himself in a position where he will not do what he wants to do without your participation and your partnership with him. Yeah, Jesus put himself on purpose in a place of need. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, 9. It says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." So Jesus placed himself in a position of need because he wants you to partner with him to get his will accomplished on earth. So listen, when Jesus asks for your help, when he asks for my help, when I say, "Yes, Lord," at that moment that I say yes is the time that through his poverty, I become rich. I become fulfilled in purpose. Yeah, that's it. Listen, can I tell you, church? You will not be complete until you partner with the completer. Yeah. There'll be areas in your heart that will be unfulfilled. There'll be things in your life where you won't be complete. But when you start participating with the creator of the universe and the one who died for the sins of the world, when you begin to participate and partner with him, man, you become rich in value and fulfilled in purpose. Amen. Amen. Yeah, turn to your neighbor and say, "Jesus loves you, Jesus chose you, and Jesus needs you." Listen, this is how everything operates, church. Listen, God's economy, God's blessings, you know, God's moving in power and healing and deliverance, all of that is carried out through you as we partner with him. Yeah, everything. This is how he designed it. This is how he designed it. Look at 2 Peter 3:9. And let me say this too. I want to encourage you that from this day forward, you know, stop thinking that God doesn't need you, okay? And also stop thinking that God can't use you. Someone like you. Because listen, God not only wants to use you, but he can use you, regardless of your past, regardless of what you've gone through. Amen? Yeah. So look at 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Through us. So listen, we're partnering with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to bring about the will of God and the kingdom of heaven on earth. Right? We're partnering with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that his kingdom would come, that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven through you. Are you seeing this? You're like the conduit. You're the conduit that brings the power of heaven down into this earth. And he uses your mouth, he uses your ears, he uses your hands, he uses your feet to get you there. This is God's design. So God's economy, God's blessings, God's wanting to move in power and deliverance and salvation and healing, all is carried out through you. Through you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God needs you. So I want to give you a couple examples of this, okay? We're going to walk through this. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 with me. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. So what they're talking about is that he's not being impatient about his return. How many know Jesus will return? Oh, listen, we're celebrating today that he came into Jerusalem on a donkey, but there's going to be a time where he comes in on a white horse. Yeah? He wore a crown of thorns, but he's coming back as the king. Amen. And so this passage of scripture said that he's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. In other words, he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Yeah, listen, I want to tell you, if you don't receive Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, that's your destiny. That's why he came. Why? Because I don't want anybody going there. But that's our choice. So you see that Jesus doesn't want anybody, the Lord doesn't want anybody perishing. Talking about eternal damnation. Not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. All right, so Jesus wants everybody to come to repentance. All right, now look at Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 13. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is what Jesus wants. This is what he died for. Isn't that right? I desire that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. Right? I want everyone to be saved. And he says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But look at verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? That's you. Listen, it's not just the pastor. Are you hearing me? It's not just me. This is all of us. And Jesus said, I need each and every one of you to participate and partner with me. Verse 15 says, how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So listen, I'm going to have you do something maybe a little uncomfortable. I want you to look at each other in the eyes and listen, lock in. All right, when I say look at each other in the eyes, you know, don't go, you know, like you're ducking. I want you to look each other in the eye. All right, come on now. And I want you to say this to each other, all right? Don't let up. Just keep looking each other right in the eyes. All right? And I want you to say this. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for your sins. He rose on the third day that you might have life. Receive him into your heart today. Let him cleanse you. Let him heal you. Let him love on you. All right, now look up here. Listen, now I want to tell you something. Because you did that, that's what I want to tell you. You all have beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So if you don't like your feet, I'll tell you how to fix it. Listen, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is what Jesus needs us to do. How will they hear about me unless you tell them? Come on, are you hearing this? This is your purpose. This is your destiny. And this is how you live a rich and fulfilling life, is when you participate and partner with this mission and this assignment. That's it. That's why you're alive today. Do you understand? Nothing else is going to fill that slot, church. And you don't have to go to Bible college. Listen, you have a story and you have a Savior, and you just need to let people know how thankful you are. This is Passion Week. We're coming into Easter. Listen, we're not celebrating Easter bunnies. You know, we hide the eggs and have fun with our kids, you know. We're celebrating that Jesus Christ died for our sins and on the third day rose again. And if you confess Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Yeah. This is the best gift we can give our kids. Man, listen, parents, grandparents, let your kids know about Jesus. Let them know your eternal destiny. It's the best gift you can give them, because if the time comes when Jesus takes you home, they need to know, I know where they're at. Yeah, and it's not goodbye, it's I'll see you later for eternity. Yeah, so listen, I want to bring all this stuff in and want you to recognize this is the gift we give. You know, we talked about offerings and stuff. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice and let people know about Jesus and what he's doing in your life. Come on. How many know Jesus needs us to fulfill his great commission? Yeah? Look at this. Look at Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? Well, how will they hear without a preacher? How are they going to believe in someone they haven't heard of? And how will they hear without a preacher? So Jesus is resurrected from the grave here, hasn't yet ascended into heaven, and he's meeting with his disciples. He said, I need you to go preach the gospel. I need you to go preach the gospel to all creatures. Verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Look at verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. How many of you believe? This is you. Why would Jesus say, listen, I need you to go preach the gospel. People that believe the gospel as you have, you need to know these signs are going to follow you. All right, look at this now. Look at this. It says, in my name, everyone say they. In my name, they will cast out demons. Not Jesus. You, in Jesus' name. Yeah. Why, Jesus, I need you to do this. You're my conduit. You're my hands. You're my feet. You're my power. You're my love. You're my voice. Yeah, those who believe, man, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. It says, they'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Listen, this is afforded you. Jesus needs you to do what he did while he was living. Yeah, come on, turn to your neighbor and say, partner up. Partner up. So all the promise of God, in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. So the Lord is looking for us and needing us to participate. Come on, are you catching it? It's not just for the select few. It's for every single person that received Jesus. He goes, I need you to fulfill the Great Commission for me. Amen? Look at the rest of this in Mark chapter 16. Look at the rest of this in verses 19 and 20. It says, so then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. That's where he is now. And he's interceding for you to go do what he told you to do. Verse 20, and they went out and they preached everywhere. Look at this. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. So listen, the disciples participated and they partnered with the Lord, and the Lord was working with them. Come on, they're working together. Hand in hand. This is an incredible relationship. Come on, can you imagine? Lord said, you go out and do what I tell you to do. I'm going to be working with you. We're going to be working together, hand in hand, on this commission to win people, bring them into Jesus, get them healed, get them saved, get them free, get them delivered, get them secure in their eternal salvation. We're going to work together on this. Amen? And he says that the Lord was confirming their work and their words with signs, wonders, and miracles. I want to tell you, he'll do the same for you. But we got to participate. We got to participate. Let me show you some other examples. I want to run through some other examples where Jesus chose to partner with us. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 says, "So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he, Jesus, stood by the lake Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets." Verse 3, "Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat." So water is a natural amplifier. So first off, Jesus needed the boat. He needed the boat to be pushed out far enough so that the voice of God's word could be heard to the multitudes, all right? But Jesus asked Peter to take him out. Well, why did he ask Peter to take him out? Couldn't Jesus just do it himself? I mean, why did Jesus need Peter to take him out in the boat? And I'll tell you why. It's the same reason that Jesus will ask some of you, you know, to help with kids' church, to help volunteer in the nursery. It's why Jesus has asked some of you to stand out in the parking lot and be the first impression team, you know, and wave people in and say hello. By the way, Susanna Watson, the first impression team, FIT, the acronym. Get fit and help out with that, because that's a first impression, waving people in and making them feel welcome. This is why some of you, you know, you greet and you help usher, or, you know, you work in the sound booth and you do all of these different things, work, you know, serving on the worship team. Listen, keeping the church clean. All of these things that are happening, you know, think about this. This is the thing. The Lord wants you to be active in the service of his church. Because if you don't have skin in the game, you may not be in a position to hear the word of the Lord. All right, so think about Peter. You know, I was thinking about what it must have been like for Peter. There's multitudes pressing into Jesus, and Jesus is kind of backed up against the water, and there's a boat there, and he says, "Simon, will you push me out and take me out a little bit in the boat?" So think about this. Peter now is in the boat with Jesus. It's just him and Jesus in the boat. And Peter has this vision, this view, that Jesus is preaching to all of these multitudes from the boat, and Peter's behind him watching the word of God penetrate every heart because he was there. And so this is why Jesus said, "Hey, Peter, push me out." Why? Because he wanted Peter to see the power of the word of God being preached. And Peter became one of the most influential preachers in the Bible. Yeah, his first message, 3,000 people got saved and baptized. Can you imagine baptizing 3,000 people? Man. Let's look at this one. The feeding of the 5,000. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 15. "When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, 'This is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food.'" So the disciples are asking Jesus, send them away so they can go get something to eat. Verse 16. "But Jesus said to them, 'They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, 'Bring them here to me.' Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate, and they were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained." So in verse 18, Jesus asked the disciples to bring him what they had. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "Bring him what you have." Yeah, so the disciples, Jesus asked the disciples, you know, "Bring me what you have." So they brought to Jesus 5 loaves and 2 fish. Listen, an obvious insufficiency to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. Isn't that right? He says, bring me what you have. Listen, have you ever felt that way, that sometimes you feel like you just, at the end of the week, you just don't have enough? Yeah, I mean, we have a church full of people that are hard, honest workers. I mean, everybody I look at around here, we have a church full of people that are working hard, you know? And many times, you might work 50 or 60 hours, and after that hard work week, you're just like, I just don't have enough. That sometimes that happens, isn't it? Listen, I want to tell you this. This is a key for you, and it's a biblical principle. Listen, when what we have remains in our hands, when what you have remains in your hands, you'll always come up short. There'll always be an insufficiency. But listen, when you place what you have in his hands, it always becomes more than enough. Listen, this is the principle of the tithe. Listen, so if you're working all week for that paycheck and you keep it in your hands, you're not participating. If you put some in his hands, you'll have more than enough. Listen, when you put what you have in his hands, he'll multiply your insufficiency so that you'll have more than enough. Listen, I can't tell you mathematically how that works, but I can tell you it works. Amen. What about your time? I don't have enough time. You know, there's not enough hours in the day for me to get done what I need to get done. Working 60, 70 hours a week. Well, give him the first Sunday. Give him one Sunday. Get out of bed, come to church. Give him something. Man, if you need more time, put it, your time in his hands and prioritize, and you'll have more time. He will always multiply what you put in his hands, church. But this is what the Lord's saying. I want to do it, but I need your participation. I can't do it without you. I need you to partner with me. Come on, are you hearing this? So I want you to notice this once again, though, okay? So Jesus asked the disciples to bring the 5 loaves and 2 fish to him. Look at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 14. He said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled. So after Jesus blessed and broke the bread, he gave the loaves back to the disciples and told the disciples, You go distribute it to the multitudes. Listen, the question is, why didn't Jesus just ring the dinner bell and say, come and get it? I mean, he blessed it, he broke it. You know, why did he give it to the disciples to go and deliver? Why didn't he just say, come and get it? They 5,000 men plus women and children could have just lined up and walked by and got their meal. Why didn't he do that? Let me tell you why. Because he wanted the disciples to handle a miracle moving through their hands. Come on, are you hearing this? He wanted the disciples to experience a miraculous provision moving through their hands. And he wants to do the same for you. He does. He wants to partner with you. And he wants his blessings to move through your hands to bless other people. Listen, am I talking about money? No, what about healing? You know, what about a hug? Come on, are you hearing me? So listen, Jesus needs you. He needs you to carry out his plan, but he wants you to experience what it feels like to bless somebody through you. You're the conduit. Jesus did this to make it possible. We do this. He did this. We do this. Lord, I pray that you bless these people. I do it right now. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you bless these people right now. By the sound of my voice, Lord, that they would feel this stirring inside, that they would be anointed with your spirit, Lord, to move out and go and share the good news. Lay hands on the sick. Bring hope to the hopeless and bring love to those that feel unlovable. Oh, Lord says, I need you. I need you to partner with me. Amen? What about the Last Supper? Look at this, Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him." All right, so listen, this man is unnamed. You know, he's wanting to get this Passover meal, find a place to celebrate the Passover meal. And Jesus sends out two disciples and says, "Listen, look for a man carrying a pitcher of water and then follow him." Verse 14, "Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house," I'm thinking right now, here's this guy carrying a pitcher of water, and the disciples go, "There he is, there he is." And they're following him. He's probably going, "Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with the disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us." So Jesus needed a room, didn't he? He needed a donkey. He needed a boat. He needed a room. But he used an unnamed man to get that room prepared. An unnamed man. Look again at verse 13. "He sent out two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him.'" So everyone say, unnamed servants. You know, I was reading some of these. Some scholars say that this man that was unnamed was a friend of Jesus, and that this man would work behind the scenes, and he was the man that prepared this room so that he can celebrate the Passover meal with his disciples. But this man was unnamed. This man was unnamed, and this is what I think. I think that there is a special place in the heart of God for the unnamed servants. These are people that work behind the scenes, you know. They're not needing platform. They're not needing accolades. They're not needing to be recognized or noticed. But they're preparing. They're preparing for the Lord. Came in here. I was in here last week, later. And walked in, and there's a couple ladies organizing the kitchen, taking stuff out of the cupboards and labeling stuff. Nobody asked them to do that. Man, I make my way back to the office, and I'm saying, "Man, thank you, Lord. This is your house," and they're treating it like your house. Amen? Unnamed servants, there's a special place in the heart of God for people that are working behind the scenes, and they're preparing for the work of the Lord. And I want to say this, that these unnamed servants, one day, who are doing secret service, there are secret service. Who's part of the secret service of LWC? I want to tell you that what these unnamed servants are doing secretly, one day they're going to be rewarded openly by the one who sees in secret. Yeah. So listen, if your service goes unnoticed by me, forgive me, but know this, it is not going unnoticed. Because the one who sees in secret will reward you openly. Amen? And by the way, I want to let you know, I really try hard to, you know, to appreciate you and, you know, let you know how much I see what people are doing, and I really try hard, you know, to acknowledge that because I know how important it is. Listen, because I know I can't do what I do without you. Amen? I want to take a minute right now, and I want to thank all of the all of those who intercede for us behind the scenes. Because you are the fuel, you're the motor, you're the power. So all of you who intercede for Gail and I and the church and the team, and you know, I wanna let you know that I really am thankful for all that you do behind the scenes. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Jesus says, "When you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So listen, thank you. All of you that put in hours, nighttime, losing sleep, whatever you do, please keep up the prayers because we need them. And we pray for you too. But thank you for praying for us behind the scenes. It really, really helps us. It really does. All right, back to Luke. So Jesus sent these two disciples, all right, this is back to the first part of our portion of scripture. Jesus sent out two of his disciples to get him a colt or a donkey so that Jesus could use that donkey to ride into Jerusalem. All right, so look at Luke chapter 19 and look at verses 32 through 34. Look at this. So those who were sent, those two disciples, went their way and they found it. They found the donkey just as he had said to them. Listen, but as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. All right, so listen. The Lord needed that donkey or that colt to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. But in order for that donkey to be used, it had to be loosed. And he needed his disciples to loose the donkey. This is us. Remember Lazarus? Remember when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He'd been dead 4 days. Lazarus, come forth. John 11:44, it says, when he who had died, he came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was wrapped with a cloth, and Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Oh, this is us. Listen, I'm a lot like Lazarus, and so are you many times. You know, in other words, we've been called from death to life, but sometimes we walk around so bound. You know, we're bound head and foot from, you know, maybe from deep emotional trauma. You're living, you've been called from death to life, but maybe you're bound with anxiety or bound with depression or bound with loneliness or bound with something. And we have received eternal life, but sometimes I find myself walking around in my grave clothes. Listen, carrying the things of my past. Come on, are you hearing me, church? And so listen, Jesus needed the disciples to loose Lazarus. He was saved, but he needed his disciples to unwrap him from the grave clothes of his past. And listen, this is what I want to say. You need each other. We need each other. Because even though you've been called from death to life, you might need some of your brothers to help unravel and untangle you from the grave clothes of your past. Listen, this isn't just for me to do. The Lord is saying, this is what I need you to do. I need you to participate with me and help one another. So if you're bound up with certain things that you're having a hard time untangling from and you're carrying stuff around, the Lord says, I want you to hook up. I want you to go and tell somebody. Say, I'm having a hard time shaking this. And listen, it doesn't have to be an addiction. It can be an emotional trauma. It could be something that happened when you were a child. You know, something that just, it's traumatized you. You know, and you're saying, man, I just can't shake it loose. Some of you have night terrors still. I was talking to a woman, she's got to be, I don't know, 50 or 60 years old. And says she's been having night terrors since she was a little girl. But she's getting free. She's getting free. So, man, it's such a blessing because the Lord says, man, this is what the body of Christ is all about. Listen, I'm not wanting to control. I don't need to have my hands in everybody's back pocket or, you know. I mean, I'm available. My wife and I are available to do what we need to do, and you can call us anytime. But I'm telling you, the Lord wants you to know today, I need you to partner and participate with me. Not only to set captives free, but set the free free. Come on, are you hearing it, church? Jesus was asking for someone to help Lazarus. He was asking for someone to unravel and untangle him from all those things that kept him bound to his past. Come on. Then listen, I want to tell you, you don't have to have it all together to go and help somebody untangle the things that are blinding them, the stuff that's binding them up. You know, you don't have to wait till you're perfect. Listen, because I want to tell you, you may go help somebody, and as soon as they're free, they start helping you. Oh, you helped me, you got an arm free. Yeah, and they start helping you. And listen, we start untangling each other's messes through each other. This is what the body of Christ is all about, church. It's not about dividing and fighting and arguing, you know, and holding our ground. No, you know, it's about washing each other's feet. Loosen each other from our old grave clothes. Amen? So I wrote this down. Jesus needs us, and he needs us to recognize he needs us. You got it? He needs us, but today is about you recognizing he needs me. He needs me. He needs you. Jesus loves you, Jesus chose you, and he needs you. He needs us to accept his request for help. Have you ever tried to help somebody and they wouldn't receive it? You know how painful that is? When you really go the extra mile to help and then they just don't want their feet washed. Not by you. And Jesus says, man, I want you to accept that I need your help. That we can say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. He needs us to partner and participate with his plan, church. Amen. You're part of that. You get anything out of this? Listen, as we participate in the Easter week, and, you know, we really, as we said this morning during worship, man, just thank him for his goodness. Everything that he's gone through. I mean, this is the week of the culmination. You know, listen, I want to let you know, Jesus is feeling it. He knows what he's going to be going through this week. He knew it. And he was deeply troubled. Deeply troubled. But it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Amen. And that's us. That's us. Listen, I want us to do something if we can. If you're able, would you stand and bridge the aisles? Just grab hands. I just want us all to be connected in some way. If you can't bridge the aisle somewhere, it's okay. Everyone's connected. Everyone's connected. Listen. This is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. This is it. So listen, I want to tell you that even right now, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to have you pray a prayer with me as well. I'm going to declare a couple things. But I want to let you know that everything, there's a conduit of power that's going to move through you. And you may not even know what the person you're holding hands with is dealing with. It might be the person seven people over, and you don't even know their name. But God's going to move through this prayer, and he's going to bring healing and deliverance and hope to you, because we're united. Amen. It's like an electrical current, and we're tapping into the one that has the power and the love and the gentleness and the hope to bring you what you need today. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer, and then I want to pray a blessing over you. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you that you've invited me, that you've invited us to be part of your inner circle. We are connected to the vine. You're the vine, and we are the branches. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you not only love me, you not only chose me, but you need me. And today, I say yes. I partner with you today. I want to participate with your plan. And I thank you that right now, that your healing would begin to flow through my hands. That your power would begin to flow through my hands to the hands I'm holding. And I thank you for this. And let me pray. Father, I want to thank you so much. I'll pray this part over you. Father, thank you so much for this church that we call Living Way. Thank you that we are all children and that we're all connected to you. And Father, I thank you that we are sealing our unity. We need you and we need each other. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for the love and the unity and the humble submission to one another moving forward that we might grow in you. So, Lord, as we stand hand in hand as a church, as we come together and worship each Sunday and we listen to the teaching of your word and we stand together in worship and praise, I thank you, Lord, that we'll find ourselves loosed and released from things that once kept us bound. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this message from Pastor Vic Prieto. If you are looking for a home church, we would love to see you here at Living Way. Please visit Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You will find us at 2410 Duneland Beach Drive, Michigan City, Indiana, or view us on the web at myrealchurch.com.